Good morning. Today's daf is Samach Dal. We are starting on the bottom of Samach Gimel and Beis, and more on topics of Tumat Tahara. Yesterday, we introduced ourselves to the topic of Tumat Tahom. Mishnah told us that if I have a Nazir, and he was Migaleach, and then subsequently he found out that he had exposure, but it qualifies as an exposure of Tumas Meis, specifically Tumas Tahom. So then, a special halacha, yesterday we described it as halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, that what you are allowed to do is ignore. In other words, that's something that the Torah would totally allow. So, yesterday, as we learned together, so there are going to be a number of qualifications that get you to the point of being qualified towards Tumas Tahom. But that's the topic that we were introduced to yesterday. It's a very, very detailed halacha within Nazir. Excuse me. And Osei Pesach as well. And that is this concept, this idea of Tumas Tahom. If you remember, if you recall in the Mishnah yesterday, Nazir. I'm just going to go over yesterday's Mishnah. Samach Gimel Med Aleph. Yesterday's Daf. Nazir Shegilach. V'no Delo Shehutame. Im Tumah Yedua. Soser. So if it's Tumah Yedua, that's what you and I would call normal Tumah. Right? That's a regular exposure. So then you're going to be Tumah. V'in Tumas Tahom. No Soser. But if it's Tumah Tahom, you're not going to be Soser. Now, that means as follows. Now, I clarified this point yesterday, but let's do it again just so that we're all clear. Meaning the actual exposure to the Tumah occurred obviously while you were a Nazir. Meaning after Tiglachas, you're done. So any exposure from that point going forward is not going to affect your Nazirus. In other words, the timeline is that during your Nazirus, you had this exposure, but you learned about it only later. In other words, so now you learned about it after the Tiglachas. So you already counted the days, you brought your Karbanos, you had the Tiglachas, so now you learned about it later. So the halacha is that because it qualified as a Tumas Tahom, so therefore the halacha allows you to ignore it. The Mishnah went on to say that if you're learning about it before Giloach, so then doesn't matter. It's going to be Soster. And then the Mishnah gave an example of what it's going to look like. And what does it look like? So Tumas Tahom, this is basically a synopsis of yesterday's daf, is where the mace is underground. In other words, underground, not meaning not in the water, not floating in the water, not floating on top of the water. It has to be under the ground. And if I go into a mikvah, the mace under discussion, under review, has to be under the ground of the mikvah. So, and nobody knew that there was a mace there. So that qualifies now as a Tumas Tahom. And again, in limited circumstances, under limited situations, so you can go ahead and you can ignore that kind of tumah, even though you now know that you had exposure to that tumah. The Mishnah then at the tail end said, it also is going to be a question of what your personal chazaka was as well. In fact, the Mishnah at the end, Ketzad, I'm going over the Mishnah from yesterday, but it's important. So, Yar Ledvol B'Ma'ara V'Nimsa Meitzaf Al Pi Ha'Ma'ara. So, let's say you tovel in a cave. In other words, there's obviously water in the cave. You tovel in the water in the cave. And there is Meis Tzaf Al Pi Ha'Ma'ara. The mace is floating in the water. So, now you're going to be Tummy. That's not Tumas Tahom. That's Tumah Yedua. Nimsa Meshuka Bekarka Hama'ara. So, but if it's underground, if it's underneath the ground of the mikvah, so then no. So then if it's under the ground, so now that qualifies as Tumas Tahom, and you're going to be fine. Yarad Lahaker, Tarli Tarmi Tumas Meis, Tame Shecheskas Tame Tame, Vecheskas Tar Tar Shuraglam Ladavar. Now, if, let's say, you go in there just to cool yourself down, right? That's Yarad Lahaker, Tahor, Li Tahir Mitumas Meis. Yarad Lahaker, Tahor, Li Tahir Mitumas Meis, Tameh. So if you're going down to cool, meaning you're already in a state of Tahara, and all you're doing is just going down to cool, so then you're going to be fine. On the other hand, if you are already in a state of Tumah and you're going in there in order to be Mitari yourself, meaning your chazak is tamei, so then you're going to be tamei. Good, meaning we operate with what we call chazakas. Okay. So in yesterday's daf, what we learned together is this idea of Tumas Tahom, right? A novel idea, and one that although there's not going to be any logic to it. In other words, there's no rationale governing it. Halach l'moshe m'Sinai is just simply an exception within the world of Tumah. And if your exposure was only to Tumas Tahom, So then it's something that can be, ignored. So now, in today's daf, basically what we're going to do is continue the discussion. But in today's daf, we're going to break it up into two parts. Part number one of today's daf is we're going to introduce ourselves to a brand new idea. It's what's called tzafa, tumat tzafa, floating tumma. Okay, I know that's going to sound funny, but that's the amud aleph of today's daf. And then the second half of today's daf, we revisit tumas atahom one more time, and we're going to just punctuate one particular point. Okay, so let's go. Side A of today's daf, Ketzad Yarad. So on Samach Gimel Amud Beis, and four lines from the bottom. Ketzad Yarad. I stopped a little bit early. V'lo amru tumas atahom ela meis bavad. Right? Okay, good. Right, good, perfect. So this idea of Tumas Satom is only said regarding Tumas Mace, meaning that this special Allah Moshe Mesina is not limited to, is not incorporate any other type of Tumah other than Tumas Mace. Okay. Ketzad Yarad. Tzafay Namatame Ling Sheretz. So the Gemara now has an opening statement for today's daf. And that is that if it's floating, now remember in our Mishnah, we were actually making a contrast between the human remains floating in the water versus the human remains being buried underneath the ground. Okay? Now what the Gemara is telling us is that let's say it's floating, but no longer are we talking about mace, but rather we're talking about sheretz. Okay? We all know sheretz is metame. Sheretz is only metame b'maga. It's not metame in any other transmission. Not masa, not oel. Okay. So the sheretz is metame, and now the sheretz is floating. And as we're going to highlight right now, you may have touched it. You don't know. Okay, now, Safik Toma, Detanya, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Safik Toma, Safa, Memikele, Memikarka, Tahara. So if I have Safik Toma that's floating, whether it's in a kli, whether it's karka, in other words, it doesn't matter whether it's floating in a container, doesn't matter if it's floating in water in the ground, as long as it's floating. Now, the word floating over here means that it's not actually resting on the ground. Floating over here just simply means is that it's in a liquid, and it doesn't matter where the liquid is, whether the liquid is being held by a cup. Okay, I brought my props today. Whether it's being held by a cup or whether or not the liquid's in the ground, it doesn't matter. As long as it's not resting on the ground itself, meaning the fact that it's in water, we're going to call that safa, we're going to call that floating. And under those circumstances, if I had possible contact with it, I'm going to be tahor. And Rabbi Shimon Omer became tamei b'karka tahor, and Rabbi Shimon makes a distinction as to whether or not it's floating in a kli or in the ground, according to Rabbi Shimon, floating in a kli, and possible contact is tamei, and floating on the ground, And possible contact is going to be tahor. Okay. For a moment, let's just pause for just a moment and let's wrap our heads around what we're learning together. Okay. Possible contact. Okay. What do we say normally by possible contact? Safik tumma. We know the rules. We went over it yesterday. We get to go over it again today. And that it's really fundamental. And again, it's a great preview to our next mesechta, which is sota. And that is safik tumma. So if I possibly came into contact with tumma, so we all know the rules. Safik tumma brishos yachid. Sveiko. Tamei, Safik Tumma Brishos Harabim, Sveiko Tahor. Possible contact in a private area. Private area over here is going to be governed by the number of people, two and less than two, which would be one. Okay? So, and if that were where the Safik Tumma were to occur, where there are only two or less people there, so then we say Safik Tumma, that's Rishos Yachin, therefore Sveiko Tamei. On the other hand, anything three and greater, so is going to be Sveiko Tahor. Fine. So those are the rules that govern Safik Tumma. Now, within those rules, here's what we're learning on top of that. Layer on top of that now, a new halacha that we're being introduced to in today's daf. And that is that if the Tumma is not grounded, but rather it's floating, even though you're in a Rishos HaYachid, and even though we normally say Safik Tumma Rishos HaYachid is Tameh, but if it's not grounded and it's floating and I only had possible contact, so then Safik Tumma Rishos HaYachid is going to be Tahor. Okay, so we are next level. Okay, so we're the starting point is Safik Tumma Brishos HaYachid, and now next level after that is that if it was possible contact and it wasn't grounded, so then we say, even in that case, we say Safik Tumma is going to be Tahor. And in that, meaning now, we're already now at the next level, when we say it's not grounded, what does that mean? It's a machlokas tanaim. Between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon. According to the Tanakhama, not grounded means not grounded. It's floating in water. It doesn't matter whether the water is being held by a cup. Or it doesn't matter whether the water is in the ground. It doesn't matter as long as it's not in the ground or it's not in the cup. But it's floating, meaning on a body of liquid on top of it. So then, according to the Tanakhama, it's going to be Tahor. On the other hand, according to Rabbi Shimon, a distinction between whether it's floating in water in the ground or floating in the water in the cup. In the former, in the ground, it's going to be tahor. In the cup, it's going to be tummy. Okay. Now, it begs the question, where's all this coming from? Meaning, where is all this information coming from? That's the information. It's a lot of information already at the beginning of today's daf. Where's the source of this information? So my time at the Tanakama, what's the basis behind the Tanakama? Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avudimi, Ksiv b'chol ha-sharitz ha-sharitz kol makum shu sharitz, uksiv ala aretz ha-ketzad. So Rav Yitzchak bar Avudimi says it's based on psukim. In other words, we're darshaning psukim. And that is b'chol ha-sharitz ha-sharitz. So the Torah in Parsha Shmini tells us that when do you become tamei? When you come into contact with b'chol ha-sharitz ha-sharitz. So in other words, the sharitz. So, and kol makum shehu. And if the pasuk would have stopped right there, I would have said, okay, irrespective of where exactly the contact occurred or what are the contexts of the contact, so I would say that you become tummy. But then the Torah goes on. And then the Torah goes on to say, kol makum shehu sharetz, kama, uksiv al haaretz. And then the Torah goes on to say, no, it has to be al haaretz, it has to be on the ground. So, aketza vade mago tameh sveiko mago tahor. So that means to say that there's some distinction where it's on the ground versus where it's not on the ground. So if it's on the ground, okay, so what I'll call from this point going forward, grounded. So if it's grounded and you come into contact with it, or even if you possibly come into contact with it, and it's a reshus hayachid, so then the halacha is you're going to be tameh. If, on the other hand, it's not grounded, it's floating in a body of water, so now, if I definitely touch it, you're tameh, meaning that's for sure. But if I only possibly touched it, even though I'm in a reshus hayachid, going to be tahor. Okay, that is according to the Tanakhama. And Rabbi Shimon, my time, and now the Gemara gives an explanation behind Rabbi Shimon making a distinction between Kli and Aretz. So Amar Ulaksiv Achma Yanuksiv Yitma. Yitma, take out the next two words. Hakesat Safa Bekelem Tame Bekarka Tahor. So Ma'ayan. So Ma'ayan is a spring. In other words, and obviously a Ma'ayan is a description of a natural water spring that's obviously going through the ground. So that means to say that Rabbi Shimon limits this new halacha to only where it's floating in water that's on the ground. If it's, however, floating in water that's in a cup or any keli, so then you don't get this special dispensation. Okay. Already at the beginning of today's daf, we got a lot of information that we need to process. I went through it quickly. Okay. Definitely review. But we are introduced to this new idea of Tumat Safa. Tosos is of the position that Tumat Safa is not just limited to sheretz. Meaning, if we read the Gemara, we would have concluded that this is a special halacha that applies to floating Tumah, but specifically that of sheretz. The pasuk that we quoted was specific to that of sheretz. So the simplest reading of the Gemara is that this special halacha of Tumat Safa only applies to sheretz. That's what I would have said, I would have suggested. Tosos says, however, it's not just limited to sheretz, it would be true even by a mace. Well, how could that be? Meaning, we just talked about sheretz. According to Tosfos, we're talking about any tumah where the transmission is through maga. Meaning that when you have mace, and the transmission of mace came through maga, and again, I possibly touched it, and I was in a reshus hayachid, so Tosfos says, same application of the halacha. If it's grounded, you're tummy. If it's not grounded, you're tahar. Good. The Rambam is of the position that it's only limited to sheretz. Okay. And as you're going to see, that's going to impact the Gemara we're going to be reading momentarily. But the Rambam's clearly of the position, that this is extraordinarily limited. It only applies to sheretz and no other tumah. Tana Rabbanan kol ani talam v'nigram sveikam tameh. Mimneshe'im kumunachim. Okay, anything which is nitalim v'nigrarin. Now, literally translated, it means is something which is taken, something which is dragged. But Tosos says, let me explain, says Tosos, second Tosos. Kol nitalim adam omeid b'mayim, v'chaveria mishal shasheret safik naga bo adam omeid b'mayim. So nitalim is the following. You're in the water, but meaning you, the person in the water. Someone's lowering a sheretz to you. I know it's a strange scenario. But in other words, and now maybe I touched it, maybe I didn't touch it. It's a case of Safek, and it's Safek Tumah Bereshus Hayachid. But now the argument is, well, maybe you're floating. So no. In other words, this halacha of Tumat Safa is only when the Tumah is floating. You being in the water is not going to afford the special halacha. That's Nitalim. What's Nigrarim? Next Tosos, small. So Shaya Chaver Gorer Sheretz Alpani Amayim Safek Naga. What your friend was doing is your friend was dragging the sheretz through the water. But again, now your friend is touching it, so once again, no longer afforded the special halacha of tumat safa. So back to the Gemara, back to the Braisa. I'm going to start again. So the Gemara says that because it's being manipulated by a person, so we're going to view this as if it's grounded. The person now is going to be grounding the tumma, and therefore you're not given the special halacha. But if it's something which is thrown, so then suffik tahor, meaning once it's being thrown, so now it's going to be given the status of tumat safa. Now it's going to be floating, and if I possibly came into contact with it, you're going to be tahor. Now, chutz min kazayis min ames, v'ha'ma'ahil al p'rei tumma. Notable exceptions are going to be kazayis min ames. By the way, certainly from this brisa, it certainly sounds like that this special exemption, the special exception is only limited to sheretz and nothing else. Because over here, we're going over that which is excluded. We're excluding kazayis min ames. We're excluding ama'ahil al p'rei tumma, where you yourself are serving as an ohel over the tumma. You're directly over the tumma. V'chol davar shenitma milamala kilamata. And any kind of tumma where the tumma goes both upwards and downwards. Lasuya zava zava, and that would include a zava zava. Zava zava, their tumma goes directionally down and up. In other words, when it comes to a zava, they send an item, so now the tumma descends to the item they're sitting on. I can go into this in more detail, but I'm not going to right now. Just simply note that according to this braisa, this special halacha of safa, this special leniency, that as long as the tumma is not grounded and you only possibly touched it, despite the fact that you're in a rishus hayachid, you're going to be tahor. So what we're learning now in this brisa is limitation. It only applies to sheretz, and it doesn't apply to other forms of tumma. By Rami Bar Chama. So Rami Bar Chama now is going to be doing classic, and that is, give me the definition of floating. Okay, in other words, what's considered floating in water? And this is going to be as classic a Gemara as can be. And that is that the tumma now, in order for you to receive the special exemption, has to be floating in the water. What does that mean? So, by Rami Bar Chama. By Rami Bar Chama, mace be'kli v'kli tzaf al-pnei amayim mahu. So let's say you have now a mace in a kli, and the kli is floating in the water. Okay, so here I am with my props today. So, wonderful considerations. So I have human remains in the cup, and now the cup is floating in the water. Okay, so how do we view it now? In other words, do we view this is just as standard a Gemara as we do? This is, the Gemara asks this form of a question in many different contexts. So again, what do we now know? We now know that if the mace itself, now it's funny, by the way, the Gemara here is talking about mace, right? So the Gemara says, So edit, change the Gemara, says the Gra. In other words, the Gra here takes out the word mace and replaces it with the word sheretz. Because again, according, and he says, because he subscribes to the Rambam's viewpoint, that this halacha only applies to sheretz and no other form of tumma. Okay, just like I said, it's a machlokas, so the Gra feels strongly on the side of the Rambam, to the extent in which he feels that the Gemara here needs an editing. Okay, but regardless though. Okay, so now, sheretz is in this cup, right? Sheretz is only mitame when it's dead. So I have a dead sheretz in this cup, and now the cup is floating in the water. So now do I look at the sheretz relative to the cup, or do I look at the sheretz relative to the water? Okay, standard. Standard question of the Gemara. So, misa azlinan. Now probably the word over here should be maya. And in fact, that's what the Gaon does. The Gaon puts in the word Maya. So Maya Azlinan. Okay, so what do I do? So do I follow the sheretz relative to the cup? Then it would be grounded. Do I follow the sheretz relative to the water in which the cup is floating in? So then it would be floating. Okay, fine. So that's question number one. In Timtza Lomar, this is stylistically another classic move of the Gemara. Without answering the Gemara says, well, let's take a side and then just push the question going forward. So, imtim salam rabasa kli azlinan. So let's say we're going to, in fact, follow the kli, and I look at the sheretz relative to the cup, not relative to the water, and therefore in such a situation, I would say it's grounded. So now let's do the following. And once again, a little bit, treading a little bit carefully over here in terms of the girsa. Once again, I'm going to be following the gra, mace al gabe,
I'm sorry, Sheretz Agabe Mace. Okay? Sheretz Agabe Mace, Mahu. Okay, so and by the way, these changes of the Gra, which I'm reading into the Gemara over here, also corroborated by Tosos over here. Okay, Tosos came before the Gra. Anyway, sorry. It's confusing enough as it is. So let's say I have the following now. I have the Sheretz, and it's on top of Mace, that's on top of the water. Okay, visually, obviously, it's a strange scene. Okay, so the Sheretz now is on top of human remains, which is on top of water. Okay, and now what? In other words, so we just learned together that when the Sheretz is in the cup, which is on the water, I look at the Sheretz relative to the cup, meaning it's grounded. Okay, but now, what's the wrinkle here in this next question? I have the Sheretz now floating on top of the Mace, which is flowing on top of the water. Why is that? Why is that a wrinkle? So, Kevin Dai Tomas Erev, Ai Tomas Sheva, Keman Demachta Toma Bekli Damya, Odilma Tomas Michtihi. On one hand, here's what I would argue. There are two different types of Toma. Obviously, Mace, your contact with the Mace would give you Toma for 7 days. Your contact with the Sheretz would only give you Toma for 1 day. So, there are two different types of Toma. So, maybe I will say that because they're so different in terms of degrees of Toma, I would then say that the Sheretz on top of the Mace would be akin to the Sheretz being in a cup. On the other hand, alternatively, what you would say is that, nah, it's, in other words, the Sheretz on top of Mace is basically Tuma. Matza min es mino, they're both Tuma. And so therefore, I would now view the Sheretz not relative to the Mace on which it's directly on, but rather I'd view the Sheretz relative to the water. It's floating. Okay, good. V'im tim salama kamanda machta Tuma b'kli damya v'tame v'adai Sheretz agabe nevela v'nevela tzafa mahu. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's now push the question forward. Meaning, let's assume right now that Sheretz and Mace are so fundamentally different from one another, so it's like in a Kli. So what if now I have the Sheretz resting on top of Nevela? Okay. So here again, visually strange. In other words, so I have floating on water. I have Nevela on top, right, directly over the water, and on top of the Nevela, I have Sheretz. Okay. So, yeah, I know. It's weird. So now, once again, the question now becomes, how do I view the Sheretz? Do I view it now relative to the Nevela that it's directly over, or do I view it now relative to the water? Now, over here, I can now make the argument, well, now we're getting closer. Sheretz and Nevela are closer in Tumah to one another. And so maybe I could now say that really the Sheretz and Nevela basically synchronize into one entity, and now the Sheretz is really floating on the water, right? So came to Tavai Tumas Erevino Tumas Mechtehi. So on one hand, so how much Tumah do you get when you make contact with either one of them? 1 day of Tumah. So they really are similar. On the other hand, Oduma, Aika Zayis, Vaika Adasha. So on the other hand, however, there are going to be notable differences. Let's start off with volume. If you come into contact with a Kezias of Nevela, you become Tameh. When it comes to Sheretz, how much Sheretz do you have to touch? Adasha, the size of a lentil. Okay, so the Gemara says fine. So Sheretz Agabi Sheretz Mahu. Interesting, by the way, the Gemara doesn't say Intim Saloma over here. Anyway, Sheretz Agabi Sheretz Mahu. Okay, finally the Gemara says, what if I have now, okay, everyone watch this next visual, and that is of a Sheretz floating on top of another Sheretz, which is now on water. So now the upper Sheretz. So how do I look at it? Do I look at it relative to the Sheretz below, or do I look at it now relative to the water? So the Gemara says, on one hand, look, it's the same, and now it's literally the same Tuma. So now I can basically say that the upper Sheretz is floating on the water. Either there's a Sheretz directly below it, it's the same thing. On the other hand, alternatively, look, where's the Sheretz right now? Where's the upper Sheretz? Not floating on the water, but floating on something. I know that something happens to be categorically the same thing, but still it doesn't matter. In other words, the upper Sheretz is not floating directly on the water. So the Gemara says, okay, now once again, we're going to push the question forward one more time. And that is, let's say that the Sheretz on top of a Sheretz is considered like the upper Sheretz is in a Kli. Okay, let's say that. Now, Sheretz Agabi Nevela Shini Mocha Mahu. It's only going to get stranger, okay? I have a Sheretz on top of Nevela, but the Nevela right now has moved from a solid state to a liquid state. However, it doesn't matter, okay? And now the Nevela is in a liquid state. So, kevda nimocha havile mashka. Now, again, in order to afford itself the special halacha of tumat safa. So what does the sheretz have to do? It has to be floating. Okay. Now we've been saying up until now floating on water. It doesn't have to be water. It just has to be a liquid. Let's say the liquid happens to be something that was originally a solid, but then liquefied. So is that considered like floating on liquid? So odilma hai uchlahu. Alternatively, one would say that look, the nevela, even though currently it's in a liquid state, but it's food. Okay.
How could that liquid not be dissolved in water? That maintains its entity.
Maybe its viscosity is, you know, it has more viscosity.
Like oil?
Or it's like oil. Anyway, and just as an interesting point in of itself, meaning liquid versus solid is not going to be your only parameter of defining what is food versus drink. Okay? In other words, sometimes food can come in liquid state, sometimes drink can come in solid state. And of course that's confusing. I know that's confusing. But what the Gemara here is arguing is that nevela, even though it moved from a solid to a liquid form, is still considered ochel. And as such, the sheretz now, which is on the liquefied nevela, is not considered floating. Okay, good. So the imtem salama duchlahu, and the Gemara says, and maybe you want to tell me that it's ochel. So sheretz agabi shechva zeramahu. So the Gemara now is going to be talking about bodily secretions, but not just any bodily secretion, but specifically zera. Now, why would the Gemara here talk about zera as being a specific bodily secretion? So the Gemara, so Tosfos explains like this, because when it comes to shechva zera, unlike, let's say, for example, meir eglaim, urine. So urine is a liquid. But the reason why urine is a liquid is because first it collects within an organ within the body, otherwise known as a bladder, and then it comes out. Right, correct. But when it comes to zera, so the Gemara now is at least advancing that zera may be fundamentally different because it doesn't pool in the body and then come out. Okay. Right?
It does pool in the body.
You see, this is the problem with having doctors here in the DAF. Okay? And I encourage you to come back again. I love it that you're here. I knew I was going to get pushback. I knew it. Okay, fine. Okay, so anyway, so that's the Gemara's consideration. And it goes without saying that you're right, but in other words, but still you can make some sort of contrast between the urine and the zera. At least that's what the Gemara is trying to do, and I'm trying to explain it. So de uchla sheretz agabi shechva zeramahu v'im tim salamar kevin demit akra havalei ke'uchla. And so the Gemara says, okay, so the zera, because it comes directly out of the body, well, the human body is definitely, and I know it's funny, I'm going to say it, the human body is ochel. In other words, we're certainly not a liquid. So that means that anything that comes out of us, where once again, unlike urine, where it pools and then comes out, the Gemara is arguing that zera may be fundamentally different, and therefore, the zera, just like our body is ochel, the zera also has the status of ochel. And if I have, crazy visual, if I have a sheretz now that's resting on top of zera, so the zera now is viewed as ochel, and therefore it's not floating, and therefore it's not afforded this special dispensation. So the dimidakra have like ochel sheretz agabe mechata, so mechata safa agabe amayim, mahu. Let's say now I have the sheretz resting on top of mechatas. Now, mechatas is what? It's a solution. What happens to be is a mixture of maim chayim, right? Spring water, and the ashes of the paraduma. Okay. Tosfos over here writes that it's, the question is not so much specific to the solution of the paraduma. Tosfos says, truth of the matter is we could have used any solution. It just happens to be that we're all used to hearing about the solution of the mechatas. But, in other words, now I have a solution. In other words, some of it's water and some of it's powder. And now when I have a solution, so how do I view that? Do I view that as mashka? Do I view that as ochel? So the Gemara says, lo yidinan teku. Right? Funny language. I don't know, and the question's going to stand. Usually what we're used to hearing is teku, meaning teku already incorporates I don't know. But we're learning nazir right now, and we already know the language of nazir is a little bit strange. And so lo yidinan teku, the Gemara says, I don't know. Okay, so Amud Aleph now in the books. What did we just learn together? And the Amud Aleph of today, we have a new halacha that we were introduced to today, right? Samech Dal Amud Aleph in Nazir introduces us to Tumat Safa. And now I'm not going to go over every one of the questions of Rami Bar Chama, but just to go over the basic idea. And that is that normally in the case of Safek Tuma, possible contact. And again, we're talking here about sheretz. I'll say it like the Rambam. We're just talking about sheretz right now. possible contact with the sheretz may or may not have touched it. So a suffix, so what do we start? Our starting point is suffix tuma berushos hayachid is tamei. Suffix tuma berushos rabim is tahor. Okay, so let's go back to the former. Suffix tuma berushos hayachid is going to be tamei under normal circumstances. But here we have now introduced ourselves today to a special halacha, which is that even though it was possible tuma and it was in berushos hayachid, but if it's floating, so now the halacha is that even though we normally say tamei, for floating we're going to say tahor. And then for the rest of the Amud Aleph of today, all we did is just try to wrap our heads around, what does that mean, floating? Okay, what's the definition of floating? Floating means on a liquid, but again, many different permutations and wrinkles within, what is the construct of that definition of floating? Good. Amud Beis, okay, short Amud Beis, Amar Rav Hamnuna, but it's now we go back to Tumas HaTahom. Okay, so Amar Rav Hamnuna, Nazir V'Osepetzo Sha'achu B'Kevra HaTahom B'Shvish Lahem Torim. So my time with the law alima tumas atom the mister Rav Hamanuna has an opening statement for the Amud Beis, and that is that if I have a nazir, if somebody who is ready to offer Karm Pesach, okay, we're in the month of Nisan, right? Days into the month of Nisan, okay. So let's think now, right? This year, why not? So we're going to be offering Karm Pesach, okay. So nazir vose Pesach. So you are either you are a nazir, alternatively, you're ready to offer Karm Pesach. And halachu bekever atahom. And what did you do? You had exposure. But exposure to kever atahom. Go back to yesterday's daf. I reintroduced in the beginning of today's daf. Go back to the yesterday's daf in terms of what exactly qualifies. It's tumas atahom, kever atahom. And where were you? Where right now? You are on the seventh day of your tahara process. So that means to say that you already were tamei meis, separate. You are now on day seven, and now, just right, and let's say for just to make this a little more dramatic, and today happens to be Erev Pesach, and you're ready to offer the Karm Pesach, and you tovel in the mikvah, it's day seven. Obviously, you also received your Hazah of day seven. Hazah of day seven, Tefillah of day seven. And now, you're ready tonight to participate in eating Karm Pesach, and now, Kever at the home. You walked over a kever where nobody knew that it was there. Now again, if you're learning about it only later after Pesach, so then not much to talk about. In other words, but after your exposure, someone now went and uncovered it and immediately grabbed you and said, "Oh, you walked there? There was a tumas atahom, a kever tahom over there." Okay. Now, Rav Hamnuna says, considering the fact that it was shvi'i and you already had the azah and you already tovel in the mikvah, and you are like almost at the finish line of your tahara, that's good enough. Okay, good. And it's true by Osei Pesach, it's true by Nazir as well. So, tahara. My tama de lo alima, tumas atom la mister. Because over here, look, the tuma under review, tumas atahom. Right? And we could be lenient by tumas atahom. Go back to yesterday's daf. And you're almost at the finish line. So you know what? Rav Hamnuna, and I know this is not a great way to say it, but Rav Hamnuna basically says, "Come on, okay." It's not a terribly legal way to describe it, but okay.
Did we say yesterday that the Nazir and Osei Pesach were already exempt from Tumas Tahom?
But only for the Nazir, only after the Giluach, and for the Osei Pesach, yes, we did, but. But
so what's the chiddush with the Osei
Pesach? In other words, over here, the chiddush is that you're not finished. You're still in a state of tumah. You're still in a state of tumah. In fact, what the Gemara is going to be bothered by is go back to the end of the Mishnah of yesterday's daf. Right at the end of the Mishnah says that this tumas atahom is only if you're becheskas tahara. But if you're in a state of cheskas tumah, then you're not afforded the special heter of tumas atahom. And the Gemara asks exactly that question right now. So Mesiv Rava Yarali Tarmi Tomas Ames Tami Shekheskas Tami Tami. Shekheskas Tara Tar. So when Rav Hamunah makes the statement, so Rava loses his mind. Rava says, "You gotta be kidding me. I'm gonna go back to yesterday's Mishnah. We learned together in yesterday's Mishnah that this Tumas Atom dispensation is only when you're in a chazak of Tahara. But if you're in a chazak of Tuma, no. We're not gonna say that you're afforded the special dispensation." So Amalei Modin Lach Menazir Shemechusa Tiglachas. So he says, you know what? Okay, Rav Hamnuna yields and concedes. I know I said this halacha in two areas by Nazir and by Osei Pesach. I'll tell you what. Nazir, I'm going to give you. I'll take it back by Nazir. So Amalei Rava Af Anamodin Alach Vaosei Pesach. Rava says, you know what? I'm going to agree with you by Pesach. By Osei Pesach. Delo Mechusa Velo Klum. Because truth of the matter is, where is he right now? Again, I know I already highlighted this, but let's do this again. He already had the Hazav of Shvi. He already toveled in the mikvah. So he's done, right? Now, you and I know he's not done yet. Now, I said previously, and I'm going to stand by it, he's almost at the finish line. But he's not the finish line yet. In other words, there's still one more step that's needed in order for him to become Tahor. And that's, of course, Erev Shemesh. He needs the sun to set. So before that, he's what's called a Tvul Yom. So so he needs Erev Shemesh. And that's what bothers the Gemara. And so over here, how could you say that, look, by the Osei Pesach, where it's Shvi Ishalo, he's done, he's not done. So I'm Alei Abai, V'am Chus Erev Shemesh, that's exactly Abai's point. So I'm Alei Shemesh Meimela Arva. And Rava says, yeah, but you know what? As far as we're concerned, we're going to call him done. Meaning, you're right. Of course you're right. In other words, he can't go into the Beis HaMikdash, he can't go into the Azara until Erev Shemesh. But Erev Shemesh is something that happens mimeila. You don't have to do anything in order for Erev Shemesh. You just simply have to wait. Because that last step is a passive step and doesn't require any action on your part. So vis-a-vis the concept of Chazakah, we're going to say that you're good. And now that's an interesting splitting of the atom. In other words, right, this part I'm just going to sit on for just a moment just for us to think about it. Meaning, vis-a-vis Tumah, are you Tahor yet? The answer, of course, is no. Unequivocally, no. In other words, your Tahara comes about only with Erev Shemesh, with the sun setting. And meanwhile, the Gemara says, from a Chazakah standpoint, in other words, if now, after having Tovel the Mikvah, but before Erev Shemesh, you came into contact with Tumah Satahom, you know what? From a Chazakah standpoint, we're going to say you're good. Okay. That's a really interesting splitting of the atom. Of on one hand saying that Becheska you're Tahara, even though you're not Tahor yet. Okay. Vafa Abaye Hadar Bay, and you know what? And Abaye says, you know what? I'm with you. Meaning I'm going to be in agreement. Detanya, because we learned in a Braisa. Now this Braisa happens to be unbelievably complicated. And I'm not going to do justice to really explain the Braisa very well. So I apologize on the front end. But we're really looking only to make one point over here. And admittedly, there will be a lengthy introduction to properly explain the Braisa. So forgiveness. I'm just going to assume right now that we all know basically what's going on. And so forgiveness if there's just not enough intro. So, detanya yom alos tavi toch malos lo savi. Yachol lo savi al leidish lefne malos aval tavi al leidish lachem alos. Vitipa ter mishtem tamalamer uvim los yimei tara. Biyom alos tavi toch malos lo savi. Okay, so what happens is that she is a Yoledah, she gave birth to a female. That means to say now that she is going to be in a state of Malos, let's just call it Malos right now, for 80 days. I know those 80 days are broken up into 14 and 66, but for our purposes right now, it says she's 80 days. On day 81, she's going to be bringing Karban, postpartum. Right after having the birth, she'll be bringing a carbon 81 days later. If she has a miscarriage within those 80 days, so that is not going to require her to bring another carbon. Now, obviously, it's a miscarriage. You cannot, right? We all know you can't successfully conceive and have a child in those 80 days. But what you can do is you can conceive and miscarry within those 80 days. And if you do so, you are not going to be on the hook for a new carbon. Why? Because you're still within the window of the previous carbon. And over here, a new carbon requirement only comes about if it's post those 80 days. And then the complication over here is that, Rachmanus, she miscarried, and then she miscarried again. Her second miscarriage overlaps with her second malos overlaps. No, I'm sorry, there's going to now be a third malos. In other words, there was a birth, and followed then by not one, but two miscarriages. Her third malos is going to be overlapping with the second, but not overlapping with the first. Okay. If you understood that, great. And if not, it's because I just didn't give enough. I just didn't say enough words. But anyway, so what do we say under those circumstances? What the Bryce is telling us is, is that there still is only going to be only one carbon requirement. In other words, as long as you have never successfully concluded any one of your meloses, so then you are only going to be subject to one carbon. And Amar Rav Kana Shani Hachde Mechasra Carbon Hasam Nami Mechasra Av Shemesh. And now the Gemara says, yeah, but over there, do you know why you're still within the shadow, so to say, of the first? Because you never brought the carbon of the first. Because you never brought the carbon of the first, so you're always going to be incorporated within that first malos. So the Gemara says over here, why don't we say the same thing? In other words, over here, by Harav Shemesh. In other words, you still have Harav Shemesh, and Amalei Abai, Shemesh Meimela Arva. And now Abai gives the argument that moments earlier he balked on, but now Abai is like, I totally subscribe to it. And that is that the step from toveling in the mikvah to Harav Shemesh, it's a really small step. What are we talking about? Waiting. It's passive. And because that step going from toveling to the mikvah to Harav Shemesh is such a small passive step, he says, I don't really view that as a something that's significant. And again, by the way, I say that knowing, of course, that you're not Tahor until Harav Shemesh, but vis-a-vis Chazaka and vis-a-vis your status, so we get to say basically you're done. In that now, let's go back to the whole point that started off this Amud Beis. In that now, if you had an exposure, a possible exposure to Tumah, or exposure to something light, I'm saying that in context, like Tumas HaTahom, so then, if you are post-Tfilah, but before Harav Shemesh, we can call you now being a Cheskas Tahara. And therefore, it's not going to upset your status. You can go ahead and have somebody offer the Karm Pesach on your behalf and participate in Karm Pesach. Okay. Adkan. Takes us to the end of today's daf. Let's quickly review. Okay, our daf today, we went deep into the worlds of Tumah and really discussed, thank you, with pun intended, discussing topics that really rarely we get to discuss in the context of a daf yomi. Number one, our first topic today was Tumat Safa, a special leniency that when the sheretz is floating, and you possibly came into contact with it, you're going to be Tahor. Good. That was the Amud Aleph of today's daf, with a lot of questions specific to what is the definition of floating. Number two, a second part of today's daf, we went back to Tumas HaTahom and a leniency. And that is that if you had Tumas HaTahom exposure, but you were on day 7, and you already had a Zon, you already toveled in the mikvah, and all you need is Harav Shemesh, and you had Tumas HaTahom exposure, you're going to be okay for the Karm Pesach. You can have the Karm Pesach be brought on your behalf, and you'll be eating Karm Pesach that night. And why should that be? Because even though you do have one more step to go, you have Harav Shemesh, but because it's Mimela, because it's passive, and you don't have to do anything, so therefore, vis-a-vis Chazaka, you can be considered still now in a state of Cheskes Tahara, despite the fact that, obviously, you still need Harav Shemesh.